בדיוק המצב, inclusive myself, you can see I'm not NEC system coordinator. My name is Chicho Machab. I work for the Department of Health and Local Government as a provincial league manager. I just first and foremost I must apologize for my NEC for not being here. He would have loved to be here. But due to some problems back at home, he could not be here. Therefore, I will quickly go through this short presentation that is more of a statistical presentation. I'll quickly get to water services. The 2001 census backlog.
We don't have a copy of the presentation. So I think that what we have to do is you can just bear that in mind as we do the presentation. And then we will give you copies afterwards, unfortunately.
Thanks. I do apologize for that. The 2001 census backlog at the provincial level was 749 households. Since 2004, since the inception of NEEP, we registered around water projects to 469, and the value of the project amounted to 3.3 billion. The number of households served were around 314,207. And currently we have a remaining backlog as a province of water services of 186,589. The current backlog translates into 2.99 billion. And the 207-208 MTF allocation, something that we think that is very important or crucial that we should highlight here, is only 1.5 billion. And the target is December 2008. And also, what I think is important that we should note is that the 209-210 allocation is also included in the 1.5 billion. And the calculation has been based on the water and sanitation, which constitutes 72% of the total NEEP allocation, and the water of that portion of that 72 constitutes 45% of the 72%. That is the trend in our province. Currently, the shortfall to meet the target of 208 is 1.465 billion for the water. Coming to sanitation, the 201 census backlog indicated a figure of 902,150 households without proper sanitation. And since 2004-2005, NEEP registered projects to the total number of 298. And the NEEP total bill, that is the total bill registered for towards sanitation has been 1.9 billion. The household served from that 5,881. The remaining backlog on sanitation something needs to be served before 2010 deadline. It's 746,269. And that translates into a backlog into a backlog, financial backlog of 2.9 billion. The 207, 208 NIC MTF, I think it's still a deal, it's not a donor as such, indicates, the indicative figures indicate that throughout the MTF, up to 2010, we are allocated indicatively 1.86 billion. And the shortfall to meet the NASA target amounts to 1.465 billion. Coming to budgetary allocation, in 2004-2005, the backlog stood at 46,977. And I believe this figure included informal settlement and also formal settlement, of which it was 0.5%, which was dropped drastically to 288,000. By end January 2007, the eradicated backlog the current backlog currently is at 20,490 units, and that translates into 250 million. The 207-208 mid-range center allocation, as provided in the bill, is 145.26 million. And the other funding, that means other contributions that have already been declared so far by municipalities, and some contributions from my department to the sum of around 22 million, comes up to 44.9 million, which is very, very, very little contribution from municipality. Shortfall to meet the national target is 65.9 million, and the municipality, through some engagement, have indicated that they will be starting to contribute towards ensuring that they cover up the shortfall. But that exercise is still underway. These are different municipalities in terms of water quality backlog. And the last column indicates that for shortfall, the Gaza two municipalities, which our water services authorities in the Eastern Cape, the shortfall comes to 169 million. And then the total for the Eastern Cape as a whole, the shortfall for the water services is 1.46, as I alluded before. Also, sanitation backlog, my colleagues that are here, their shortfall in terms of sanitation is around 805 million. And the total for the Eastern Cape, as I mentioned, is 2.086 million. The requirements for the province to achieve targets. We are saying perhaps we need to increase the allocation, need allocation, secure funds to maintain infrastructure and replace aging infrastructure to prevent new backlogs. as our backlog in the eastern paper are fluctuating and are inflating on daily basis. So that's due to this problem. Increased water services, authority institutional capacity, and outsourced TMD non-co-function, management of professional services providers who design and manage projects. We are saying that we need to manage and control the escalation because our service providers give us a democratic opportunity to engage, hence for us to get high unit costs, especially in the coastal district. Partnership between established and developed professionals and contractors to improve overall productivity, leadership to ensure collaboration of sector partners. Recommended strategies. The current MIGNP allocation for both water and sanitation are far below for the province to meet the national target. There is a need to engage provincial and local programs to provide more funding. MIG formula should be needs-based, more than household-based. The province and municipalities should declare the budget adaptation program as an emergency to allow for to address the shortfall with the funding institutions, as I've mentioned, national treasury, provincial treasury, and other sources. To prioritize the budget within their MIG allocation, municipalities to prioritize the budget within their MIG allocation, as I've mentioned, that we are in the process to engage municipalities with at least managing the shortfall to ensure that they prioritize, to ensure that they meet the target. To short circuit some of the laborious pre-implementation processes, like the FDM process. I think that is the short of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really hope that we'll listen to the other presentation from the can. We'll make some copies in the meantime. We'll assist them in this CNJ. But in the meantime, we have asked that the following municipalities, according to the statistics that we have, the municipalities that have got the highest backlog. So we've got Amatolian, and then can I find out if Chris Hani is here? And then there's another municipality, can I find it is there here? Now, we'll address that issue because all of them concerned that they are coming, but in the meantime, can we listen to yourself?
Thanks, Chair. The name is Colonel Kelly, the municipal manager from Amatolian Municipality. With me, I have Mr. Nicholas Duncan, our engineering service manager, whom I'll be glad to donate to the DG1PH so that he could become part of the pool that they obtain to ensure that the services and the skills are not really fading away to other countries. On a very serious note, Chair, the Amatolian municipality is a municipality that's considered by 8 local municipalities. But with respect to the service that we're talking about, Amatolian is providing service, the water service authority to 7 of the local municipalities, excluding Buffalo City municipality. And the population, if I may just be talking about the presentation has been made available a little while ago, so I think members should have that. The general population that we have in the district of Amatolian is about 1.6 million. but of the responsibility that we have directly as a district is consisting of 1.1 million, and then about the other 6 million is part of what is serviced by Buffalo City Municipality, as it is the water authority itself. And approximately about 70% of the population of the district are residing in the rural areas. And therefore, our focus in the water and sanitation services really pays particular attention to that demographic and the representation thereof. As we speak, the water backlog, they are standing at 32%, just as the figure just before the end of the financial year. But as we get down towards conclusion of the financial year, the figure will drop quite very significantly to approximately 25% of the backlog on water services. But for now, because we still have not finalized some of the projects, we're still concluding some of the projects, the figure as it is right now in the backlog stands at 32%. On sanitation services, sanitation, the backlog is at the moment at 82.82%. Therefore, translating to 780,000 people without the RCP sanitation service or the different sanitation services that we started as expected. Though this should have been the last slide, but I think it's quite very befitting as well to really reflect on the point, just to demonstrate or rather to really augment some of the figures or statistics as provided in the report or presentation by our colleague from the province. That as it is the case right now, the funding requirement for us to meet the RTP standard on water services stands at 600 million. And on water on sanitation services, that we are to provide RTP level sanitation by 2010, we require about 950 million. That will enable us to fulfill the requirements of that target. And as we speak, the MTF commitment to the MIG allocation, they amount to 450 million. And therefore, the leaves of this is a shortfall of 1.1 billion for us to ensure that water services entirely is provided in the district. And therefore, it's quite very evident, members, that so much has to be done in making sure that the essential financial services, I mean, financial resources, are made to be quite very accessible for the district to realize water services in its totality. If I may just quickly zoom in onto the program and the responsibilities that we have, the task that we have and chance that we make a presentation around budget allocation as we speak. I just want to indicate that since way back, I think from 2003, we have since commissioned a study to ensure that the business planning process does take into effect to ensure that the budget allocation process is in fact instituted. And in which case, through that feasibility study, it became very evident that about 6 of the local municipalities that we had in the district, including Buffalo City at the time, had the budget eradication, the budget system. And in those areas, in Buffalo City, the budget were mainly in the external area, particularly in the informal settlement areas. And in Great Kai, Kumsa, and I'm sorry that in your presentation, where it refers to MoMA, in Buckhead states, relating to Sutherland, and that should be Gandani, not Sutherland as such. And then in MoMA, the area covered there, which we use in Buckhead systems, I mean, this is actually in Congo, it's Fort Beaufort and Simo, 18. And I think as I progress, you would see that Simo was not part of the areas at the time when we were doing the business plan, way back in 2003. But later on, there was some indication that there were certain areas that we use in budget system, which at the process we are dealing with that kind of stuff. In Gosha, we've got only the budget system, only in Teddy. And then I think part of what we're going to be talking about is the process on the registration, which commenced way back in 2005 and resulted into some of the processes and some of the municipalities in the local, because they were water providers at the time before we assumed the water service authority. They were bedeviled by insufficient funding, or beset by insufficient funding that they were not able to really pick up the speed on the implementation. And as such, this resulted in some of the projects being implemented on a small-scale phase approach. But since we assumed the responsibility, we had to move with speed, and ensuring that there is more concentrated funding that really made up, that is made available to ensure that budget allocation is realized within the defined period of time. And in all of this, Chair, I think we have all at the point, all of the projects have since been registered. And if I may just proceed to the point of saying that I think almost everything has by end of April 2006, the verification process which was conducted in partnership and line was then completed, which verified some of the statistics that will be illustrated in the following slide. And as I get to deal with that, Chair, like I said earlier, that CIMO was not one of the areas that has since been identified, but later on, through the verification process which we collected together with the department, CIMO became one of the additional sites which were included as part of the program. And the figure, in terms of the verified number of buckets within the district, as reduced into average, in terms of the households, it amounted to 10,572 people, I mean households. But in terms of the population representation, it stands at about 6,242 people that were using the budget system. And in terms of the overall funding at the time, way back in 2005-2006, the quantum of funding that was required to serve to eradicate budget allocation stood at 45.2 million. And over and above all that, the problem or some of the challenges that we encountered during the process of implementing some of this program is that I think we were generally faced with the elements and some of the funding that was not coming at the time that was expected. And this resulted in some of the project price changes and the figure changing as a consequence of the escalation cost of the construction industry. And part of what really became a problem is that the actual commencement of the project was still negatively affected by the time at which, or by the period or the system of the disbursement of funding. And at the moment, in terms of the progress that we have made, is that of the 10,572, up to date, there are about 4,241 buckets that have since been eradicated. And leaves us with a figure of about 6,231 still have to be eradicated between now and December. And the following slide presents the expenditure on how we have progressed in the step of this. And I think part of what has happened so far, we have at least succeeded to eradicate all buckets in Mozambique policy. And immediate progress has been made with respect to grade size. I think it's just mainly in Moma area. And that was mainly purely because of some socio-political problems and challenges that really affected the speed at which that project had to be implemented. But at the moment, as we speak, the project is on course quite very significantly. And we are very determined to ensure that by end of December, the project at least shall be realized because the infrastructure was already put up, but however, the only thing that was really remaining was more the connections around the area. And then on the bulk services, that would ensure that the once those waterborne storage systems or facilities have since been stuck or installed or constructed. Obviously, you would understand that there is a requirement or a need to ensure that the bulk services would require to be upgraded to the greater extent. And part of those areas where we need to be concentrating much on is mainly around the area of CIMO and normal municipality. And up to this point, Chair, I think one of the things that will require in this respect to ensure that we really make available the appropriate services, there is a requirement of an initial amount of 78 million to ensure that we really augment the capacity in ensuring that the system on the operation side is in fact up to the level that it should sustain the service once the problem is really assessed. And part of the remaining challenges, as I conclude, Chair, is that we certainly do have an imminent shortfall of about 53 million, which DPLG has made commitments that they will be making that transfer quite soon. And once that fund gets transferred immediately, there are about 4 tenders that are imminent that are awaiting that funding to be transferred. And at the moment, we are not really able to proceed with the tendering for those projects. And those projects are in the main in the area of Bongo Municipality, in Fort Beaufort or Buffalo in Newtown. And there are about 4 projects that are delayed as a consequence of this. And it is our view that once funding has been confirmed by DPSG and transferred, henceforth, will ensure that the tenders really are provided and awarded in good time. And the method we would want to really expedite the implementation of this project would want to speed some of the projects so that we don't concentrate the awarding of the tender to one service provider, so that we spread out the provision of the service. And that would enable us to really realize the target as expected in the period. So in the long and short of it, Chair, I think that's basically what I could say. But allow me to really say that part of what really was related or highlighted by members in the area when Dwarf was making a presentation was to the effect that there is generally a challenge or some of the municipalities are not really concentrating on water conservation and demand management. I just want to assure the members that Amatolis municipality is one among those municipalities in the country that are taking water management and water loss management as one of the city's responsibilities. And part of that, what we're concentrating on in the budget that we have, that's going to be adopted by council in place of the concentrates mainly around water and demand management conservation. So I think we've got a very focused attention around those aspects. So I think it is much more important, even though it's not part of what I was expected to present, but I felt it was bound to really reflect on that point, lest it be asked after I'm done with the presentation. Chair, I think this is how far we can go. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Can I ask the representative from civil society, please? He or she? Where is he or she? The Eastern Cape person. Well, we are in quite a bit of no-shows from the Eastern Cape. We'll ask the committee to engage very quickly and then we'll go for lunch. I think we'll ask the secretary to follow up with all the people that have confirmed they're coming, because that doesn't mean they can't come tomorrow if they can't come, because in Parliament, if you have agreed, you must come. If you're going to come, then it will only be right to say you can't come anymore, and then you must inform us. And if you don't, there's a rule in Parliament that says that if you decide to upwind, if you don't feel like coming anymore, the committee has a rule that says that you can continue you to come. So if they don't come, you would have to use that rule, and they will have to come tomorrow. So we'll ask the secretary to follow up with all the no-shows and get them to appear before the committee either today or tomorrow. Members, it's over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I don't think there's much to add. Amatol and even other municipalities about the report. But I just wonder if the department itself had such information as far as the budget is concerned when combining the department's budget. Because such requirements perhaps should have been included in the budget in order to make it possible for the municipalities to render their services effectively in order to meet the disaster target. Because without the finances or the shortfall, it will be impossible for the department to meet its target. But however, given the good presentation, would like to see the committee go into those areas to verify as to whether what is written here does in fact take place at the ground level. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, I just wanted to ask the Eastern State
how the provincial Department of Local Government and Housing, whether they are monitoring the movement of people, the migratory patterns from urban to rural, also from province to province. And if so, how is this incorporated into the planning for water provision in the province, according to various municipalities? Also, how is it indicated in the budget of the province and the municipalities? Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just want to know how does Amapola Municipality address the issue of informal settlement, because they say nothing about informal settlement. And looking at this amount that they need so urgently, does that also include the informal settlement? And whether you do consider the tenders that come a little bit cheaper, or is it because you're taking the higher tenders that you have to meet 38 million cents?
There is none just from my side. Maybe the municipality must inform us. The shortfalls that they mentioned in the presentation, what is it that they're doing about it? Are there discussions with anyone? And to what extent does it have an impact on achieving the target? And then I think to both of you, do you have a monthly target that says this month, so much in that area? Because I think we obviously would like to know by December, how are you going to achieve the targets that are there, so that you can say to us that indeed we are on course in relation to eradicating the bucket system in your area. And then what are the different things that you're putting together on a monthly basis that will ensure that movement does happen? Maybe you must inform us where you do have challenges. What is it that you're doing about the challenges? How are you engaging with who are you engaging, and so on and so on. Because I think that will also give us an idea of at this juncture what needs to be done to ensure that the challenges, not the challenges, the targets are met. So if you could, if you can inform us, and then also what programs you have to involve communities in this to ensure that the targets are actually met. If you can help us with those questions, then I think it would assist us quite a bit. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regards to the shortfalls, we have certainly written a letter to the Department of Water Affairs indicating exactly what our shortfalls are, both on water and sanitation. There were two letters that were sent out over the last few months indicating that kind of shortfalls. And we are meeting on a quarterly basis with both provincial and national DPLD, where we discuss the progress today, highlight the shortfalls once again, and then as a district municipality, we've got, in terms of our performance system, we've got quarterly targets And we report regularly to the municipal manager, to council, on how we are doing quarter by quarter in meeting those targets. But all along, we've indicated that our targets are clearly set in terms of the available funding. We cannot set a target outside the funding that's available to us. So in the meantime, while we report to us and to GBLG that we do have a shortfall, our targets are set, we've got two sets of targets, if you like. One is in line with available funding, and the other target is to try and meet the national target. The last discussion we had with GBLG and the municipal manager referred to that in his presentation is that there is a shortfall of an email documentation which said 40 million is actually the 53 million on the second last slide. You'll see that there's a shortfall of 53 million. That GPLG National has said to us that the transfer of those funds to the deficit salary is imminent. But until such time as we receive the funds, we cannot award tenders. The last four tenders are on the shelf at this point. It's put on ice, we're waiting to award the tenders. And if we don't get the funding in time, we will not meet the December deadline. That is just the reality of the situation. Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, sir. Sir, I just want to elaborate on the point that says that the fact that we are aware only now that we have got a shortfall, it's not something that has been known by the district only as we speak. It's something that has been communicated with the department over the last year. For example, I think about a year or two ago, there was a session at the forum that the department had convened through which a technical team or a technical forum was constituted mainly from the municipality. And mainly the concentration and the focus there was more about dealing with mechanisms and approaches on how best we could address issues and capacity constraints that are going to inhibit municipalities in realizing the targets. And I do want to indicate that I think there are constant discussions and engagements between ourselves and the department about approaches on how best we need to deal with a matter of that respect. Because the truth here is, funding by itself is not the only factor that has an impact or has an effect on realizing the national target. The other issue that will impact upon that is that in the eastern part of our district, particularly in the area of Bash and Homa, in the eastern part of the district, in the former Shanghai side, we've got challenges with water problems. And that's one of the issues that really helps is that from time to time we're addressing with the department so that measures are instituted to ensure that. Because funding, if it could be made available tomorrow, it may not suggest that you would be able therefore to realize the target as expected. Because you would still have those capacity problems and challenges that you need to address, as well as that the capacity of the contractors that are involved in the contracting industry is an issue that as well is a problem. Much as we have addressed it with the associations that are responsible for those bodies. But I think as well the Department of Public Works has instituted a program to ensure that capacity is augmented for those contractors that are involved in the construction industry. So that as and when they are awarded tenders, at least they are able to do their proficient responsibility to ensure that their project is completed on time without delay on the performance issue or aspect. So I think this is an array of challenges that really would not have any effect on the realization of the target, other than funding itself. But all of these aspects, as I'm highlighting here, are matters that from time to time are shared with between ourselves, the Department of Housing, Local Government, and the Department of Water and Forestry, in all the forums that we are engaging on in this system. There is a question that has been asked as to whether we are really making any attempts to address matters of informal settlement. Typically, I think one of the things that we need to take into account is that informal settlement, much as it is not condoned by guidance, but generally we cannot really exonerate ourselves from providing a service from or providing a community that's residing in an informal area. Though it's not encouraged. But however, measures are made available to ensure that where there are people, at least services must be made available in that instance. And I think also it's important to highlight the fact that mechanisms to formalize certain settlements that are appropriate and that are feasible to be formalized are executed within the system to ensure that we eliminate as much as possible informal settlement and to eradicate such. And as a matter of fact, through our recent growth and development summit that we've had, much of the issues are addressed, particularly in this respect, to ensure that issues of informal settlement or informal settlement are in fact addressed quite adequately in this respect. And that's more to ensure that we also address the issue of urban migration. Because one way of dealing with that is that I think one of the issues that really concentrate or challenges municipalities is about making sure that they plan appropriately with the resources that they have at their disposal. And in this respect, Chair, all that is required is that your special planning should be in such a nature that it should be encouraging communities where they reside in rural areas that they've got economic opportunities and benefits that they engage themselves onto without really having to move to urban centers. Because if you would understand, government is embarking on itself towards a number of projects. Part of those is the rehabilitation of irrigation schemes, agricultural programs. And all of those projects, for them to be successful, they require people residing in those rural areas. Therefore, we are discouraging as much as possible people moving into those urban centers. Well, what's the point of having to stay in a township where you cannot be employed, as against when you stay in a rural area where you can be engaged in an agricultural activity that brings food and money into your household? These are some of the programs that we are instituting, and we have in fact embarked on a massive food production in the district. And it has been very successful, particularly in the former Trans Kai, in the area of conversion and Homa. That's been intensified quite very massively, and we're in partnership with the Department of Agriculture. And the main task of that program is to ensure that we deconcentrate urban migration and discourage urban migration as much as possible. But certainly, we cannot achieve that quite easily, as we might think. Because from time to time, people may always be encouraged to want to go to because some people are not very courageous or diligent to engage in high labor, actually. And in fact, they are more proficient to be white collar laborers. But these are some of the socio-political issues that at the moment have to be addressed in the environment later scheme. The one other question, Chair, that was asked is whether when we provide and our tenders, do we really consider cheaper service providers? Yes, and even when it is necessary, we do take into account such. And part of our policy, Chair, provides that not only price does have an effect in us awarding tenders to the tender that provides the service in our district, but a number of other factors are taken into account. Among those relates to, for instance, the profile of the companies and the providers that are providing. And our main chance of the policy concentrates and encourages black empowerment. And therefore, there is a very focused agenda to ensure that empowerment for HDIs and joint ventures, where HDIs are predominant, is in fact encouraged. And I think our report at some point does illustrate some of those performances. And I think we probably may share with the committee some of those illustrative figures on our supply community management report, which we submit to council on a quarterly basis as an illustration point. And the other point, Chair, yes, we do monitor the program on market eradication. Because our view is that much as it is a national program that we need to realize that target, but it is also our responsibility and obligation as a district, because water provision and every other related aspect remains our responsibility, and therefore we are duty bound to ensure that targets that are defined for us to realize have to be realized within the specified time frame. But obviously, without ever overemphasizing some of the limited challenges that we are also facing, measures are instituted to ensure that at least we realize the targets that we need to do so. And therefore, monitoring is one of the things that we do on a monthly basis. And one other last point, Chair. Part of the challenges that really were confronting us around the content eradication relates to communities that I'm addressing the last question, Chair, which relates to whether we do involve communities in the program that we have, that we're dealing with here. And the truth is that we do. However, I think it is a common challenge and a common factor that every now and again, when there's a development project, communities always find a reason to fight against them or fight about it. they don't optimize the benefit and opportunity as they have presented to them. It depends who then is the source and the entry point in that community and who brings that project to that community. There is always some of those issues where we're going to invest in. In Gandani, as an example, over the last 3 years, we have always been battling to resolve social political problems that emanate from community refusing to accept the facility that we have, the facility infrastructure that we put in for sanitation services. But it is only now, recently, that some measures have since been institutionalized to resolve that political problem, which has, at least by now, subsided. But it's not fully subsided completely. And these are some of the issues that are really sometimes affecting the speed at which some of the projects are intended. The same was the case with the project in Gombabe, in the Buffalo municipality, or in Buffalo or Fort Beaufort. There were also political problems as well that affected or that hindered the speed of that project. Thanks very much.
Let's leave it there.